Well, if you are a brand new real estate investor and you're still struggling to get your first real estate deal funded and you just don't have the money, or perhaps you're a wholesaler, you've gotten some assignment fees and you just want to stay in some deals, but you can't because you don't have the funding, or you're a seasoned real estate investor and you just want more money to fund your deals, but you want cheap interest rates. Hey, if you answered yes to any of those questions, don't go anywhere because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, welcome to another episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor, the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm Jay Connor, your host, also known as the Private Money Authority. And here on the show, we talk all the time about private money and getting funding for your deals. And if you've been tuning in, you know that I always have amazing experts and guests join me here on the show. Today is no exception. But before I introduce you to my friend and guest, I've got a free gift for you just for showing up. And that is, I want to give you a free copy of my brand new book, Where to Get the Money Now, How and Where to Get Money to Fund Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Hard Money Lenders. You see, from 2003 to 2009, I relied on traditional funding, banks, mortgage companies, hard money lenders to fund my real estate deals. And in January 2009, I was cut off like the rest of the world. Well, guess what? I knew I had to find a better and quicker way to get my deals funded. So I learned about this world of private money where you get to set the rules. Doing business this way and using private money to fund your deals, I was able to get over $2 million in new private money. I haven't missed out on a deal since that time, since 2009. And now you can enjoy the same thing. Let me send you a copy of my book, absolutely free. You just cover shipping and handling. I'll autograph it and ship it right out to you. You can get it at jayconner.com/book. That's jayconner, jayconner.com/book, B-O-O-K. We'll rush it right out to you. Well, today I'm so excited to have a very good friend of mine, an expert specialist actually in this world of probate litigation, all types of real estate law. He's down in Florida, in Jacksonville, Florida. He's a Florida bar attorney, and he handles cases all across the state of Florida. As I said, he's based out of Jacksonville, specializing in real estate law, and he serves his clients are real estate investors. They are business owners. His clients are also contractors, landlords, pretty much any type of business owner or business investor in the world of real estate. And again, he specializes in probate litigation, foreclosure defense litigation, trust administration, wills, estates, all kinds of trusts. And what my friend and guest is known for is really going way beyond what he's hired to do for his clients. In fact, if he has to make an extra trip down to the courthouse to visit with a judge about the case, he's willing to do that. Well, he graduated and got his degree from the University of Miami, and he got his law degree from the Barry University School of Law. His success, again, is driven by his desire to serve his clients, and he always has very creative solutions, and he goes the extra mile all the time for his clients. So I want to welcome to the show my good friend and fellow mastermind member, Al Nicoletti. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show.
Jay, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I loved everything that you were saying in there, and you said it so perfectly too. It was like at that perfect pace, and you're a natural at that. So thank you so much for having me on your show. I can't wait to dive in on everything probate. We'll dive in some weird litigation, maybe weird real estate, some stuff we'll get into, but hey, let's let it rip. Anything I could do to help provide the ultimate value to your audience, I'm here. And I gotta say, Jay, it was an absolute pleasure that we got to meet for the first time at Mastermind. We hit it off right at the table, going back and forth. So I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm so excited to have you, Al. First of all, how in the world did you get interested in and involved in this very, very niche piece of real estate law?
So it really all started when I had just got out of school. I took the first job I could. When getting out of law school, you try to find somebody that'll take you under their wing. You know, you can shadow them. So I took my first job and it ended up being foreclosure defense. So at the time, it was kind of towards the end of that 08 realm where all of those foreclosure defense cases were happening. And when you dive into foreclosures, you not only dive into just people that are alive, but you find out people that owned that property and there are heirs and there's a foreclosure that is happening for that property, doesn't stop. And we were finding not only was it foreclosure, but it was probate as well. So we realized to get past that foreclosure, we had to get through the probate. So I was dabbling a little bit in that. And then my best friend, who is doing law with me as well, had an idea all of a sudden one day, and he came down to visit me. We were talking about some stuff, and somehow the idea of probate was like, you know, the idea of, do you realize how many properties, how much real estate is sitting out there that nobody's really ever touched, or the probate's never been done? And I mean, all counties in Florida, whether the attorneys that they had been to were charging them up front, or they just never wanted to even get into it. And at the time, Jay, I didn't get it. I needed time to realize what this niche was all about. So it took about a year, and I then revisited the whole idea again, and I was like, wait a second. There are a ton of properties, real estate in Florida that have never gone through probate, or they need a specialist to come in there that provide a solution to that problem. So I hit it off. I was in Miami at the time because that's where it all started, Miami. But you know, a lot of the traction didn't pick up there. And it wasn't until I moved to Jacksonville and started actually actively speaking, presenting, explaining that it all of a sudden just started getting traction. And then fast forward like 2-3 years later, it has just exploded. And the concept of it is incredible. I don't think there was really anybody that was going after it or explaining it the way I had. And it's all about simplifying and boiling it down to basics and understanding for everybody to understand. And so I found that niche, took off with it, just ran with it. And it's just been blowing up today. And with the pandemic, I actually had to niche down my practice even more. So, you know, everybody was going through all the landlord tenant issues. I actually made a decision, like right when the pandemic hit, to tell myself, do I also take on and dabble in some landlord tenant, or do I go harder into the niche of probate? And I made that decision. I said, no, I'm not taking on the landlord tenant stuff. That's going to be crazy stuff to do right now. We have deals to get done right now. We have probates to do. People have deals to close that are not landlord tenant related. And the moratorium didn't stop probates, right? Courts were open. So found that niche, went harder. Jay, it is blown up. I mean, I couldn't tell you how crazy it's been. It's just blown up, and I love it.
Well, let me ask you this question. I want to make sure that our audience is all on the same page here with what you're talking about. So let's be really, really simple in answering this question. So you have an individual that dies. So you have the deceased, and the deceased owned real estate. And so take us through the timeline and definitions. What is pre-probate? What is probate? And what triggers it to start? And what triggers it that it never did start? So first for the definitions.
So definition probate, really straightforward, easy, streamlined. Somebody owned real estate and the real estate is in their name and they die. Now, for the true heirs, whether it was inherited through a will, or maybe there's no will, maybe there's a spouse or children, kids, in order for them to then either get title to the property or to sell the property to maybe a buyer or get it listed or get it out there through a contract, they are going to have to go through this court process called probate. And all it's doing is moving title over, shifting the title from the deceased to the heirs. That's it. So when you hear, Jay, about pre-probate, and when it, you know, that comes to like leads and lead sources, but pre-probate in the world of leads and sources is somebody owned that real estate, they died, and the death may have been really recent, right? It may have happened 2-3 weeks ago. But also pre-probate means that it hasn't gone through the court process. There have been no filings. Nobody has started. Nobody's initiated it and filed a paper in court to do it. That's pre-probate. And pre-probate, believe it or not, doesn't just have to be that that the deceased passed like 2-3 weeks ago. There have been many properties where the probate had never been done for 20 years. And that's how that all tied in with how I got started, was realizing, wait a second, how many there are that have never gone through the process. So pre-probate is, it hasn't been started, hasn't been initiated, and the person may have passed recently or died 20, 30 years ago, and still it has to be done, here in Florida at least. So then you have probate leads. Probate is where the person died. They've gotten an attorney. They've now engaged with that attorney. They are working with the lawyer to file the probate. They file it. They actually get it in the courthouse. Now it becomes a public record. Anybody can see it. All of a sudden, Jay Connor's taking his mouse and going, "Ooh, that looks like a nice house." And you can actually go through the files and find it. Now, those are open files, right? Probate and pre-probate are very different. But the money hits, I think, are the pre-probate, because that's where there's less competition. There's less people trying to go through that part. As more people will go to the courthouse, they'll take a backpack, they'll get paper, or they'll buy a list from the courthouse or print it out a line and go through it. Those are the differences in probate.
That makes sense. Is there a way, or does real estate ever pass title and ownership from the deceased to somebody else's name without going through the probate process?
Well, it depends if you're using mechanisms to avoid it, right? So there's probate where title's in their name and there's no special deed, there's no trust or anything like that. You may see where the person owned that property, and maybe it's husband and wife, they're on title together. They're both on the deed together. And husband dies. Well, wife's still alive. They got to get the death certificate recorded. Title moves to wife. Jay Connor wants to buy the house. All he's got to do is get under contract with the wife, right? That's a simple way. Or you have what they call in Florida, I think they have it in North Carolina as well, are the ladybird deeds. It's a new deed. So the person that owned that property while they're alive does a brand new deed and they retitle it, leaving it for them to own only for their life while they're alive. And upon death, the title would move to whoever they pick on that deed. So they just get a death certificate recorded and you bypass probate. Those are two ways. There's other ways like trusts and what they also call survivorship, joint tenants with survivorship, meaning whoever lives the longest gets title to the property. But those are ways that you would not need a probate on that property.
So what type of service or services do you find yourself primarily serving real estate investors with?
Oh, probate for sure. But it's where they go under contract, and all of a sudden they bring that contract to the title company, and the title company comes back with their title commitment and says, "Hey, buyer, we can't give you a policy. We can't close on your property until you get this done." And that's when all of them now are like, "Well, wait a second. We got to go through probate. Where's Al? Where do we go? Like, how do we get this done?" And what's unique about the service that I'm able to provide the seller and the investor on the whole deal is that I don't need anything up front. I can wait until the end. I can wait until the closing for that payment, which helps everybody. That means they don't have to put anything down, and we can just do that whole transaction and get it done. That's the focus. So a lot of it is the distress situation. Or Same thing. I'm like a real estate title fixer in a way, Jay, because what happens is same situation, the investor and the seller, they'll go under contract and they'll bring that contract to the title company and the title will say, well, wait a second. There's an issue. There was like a deed back in like 1980 that's still messed up. There's still issues on it. There's somebody didn't convey, but it went to somebody that's owning it now. Maybe we have to quiet the title. So I find myself with services that are fixing the title issue to then be able for the underwriter, the title company, to then get a policy, an insurance policy to the buyer so they have clear, marketable, insurable title. But they get funky, they get weird, they get expensive, they can be long. Probate, fortunately, doesn't have to take that long. We could do probates in a matter of weeks, even in Jacksonville. We can do it in a couple months, 2 months in like Ocala or a month in Daytona. But you get these other situations, they take long and they're expensive. But these title fixing things are unique. They help serve that seller to get that house off their plate.
So here in North Carolina, when I go under contract on a property to buy it from the seller, as soon as I'm under contract, one of the first things that I do is hire my real estate attorney to do a title search. So in Florida, wouldn't the real estate investor's attorney be able to determine there is an issue prior to them trying to get title insurance?
Yeah, that's the idea. So same concept. And in Florida, you don't have to be an attorney to be a title company as well. So you could be an agent, just a title company. And what happens is that investor, that seller, they go under contract, just like you said, and they'll submit the contract to the underwriter, the title company, for review. So they'll pull the book and pages, they'll pull the index, the record, anything that can help the deeds and review them. And then that's when they give their commitment, their clear down. That's what a title commitment is. It's a clear down report of all of the issues that have to be resolved before you can actually close, you know, get the whole deal done, keys are exchanged. So that is exactly the same kind of idea here in Florida. It's just that you're getting a title commitment, you're getting a title search that sees that problem. And we analyze it from there. What's the issue?
Gotcha. So where you come into play is like most attorneys out there either don't have the expertise or the experience that you do on getting these title issues cleared up so people can move on to closing, right?
Yeah. And it's the idea of moving things along, right? There's a problem. We gotta find a solution. Find the solution and get to the finish line. And that's the idea, is not thinking so much about, you know, the payment up front, let's just say. It's thinking about, okay, how do we do this right now? So we think about the end in sight and say, okay, if we get this done, that means everybody can close. That means seller's happy, buyer's happy, title company can close, and we figure out a whole solution to that problem.
So what kind of advice can you give to real estate investors to either, or like just in general, any advice that comes to mind as it relates to pre-probate and probate to make their life easier?
Well, definitely connect with the right professionals, right? So definitely connect with attorneys or title companies that have gone through a probate issue, a process, you know, whether it's on the closing side, whether it's doing the probate, like I'm here in Florida. So, you know, there's that situation of working with the right professionals to help you get there. Having the right skip tracing tools is huge too, because Jay, what happens a lot are investors find a great distressed property. I mean, it's prime area. It's near the beach. It's near a great Airbnb spot. But the problem is that you may not be able to find an heir or two. So having great skip tracing resources or investigators that are not going to cost a lot is really, really key. And I would say a big tip for doing the probate is getting started. So many people want to know this hypothetical or that hypothetical. What if this? What if that? One of the best things you can do, and it's not just probate, it's business in general. Get your feet wet. Get into it. Dive into it. Find one. Go for it. And that is where it can really benefit everybody if you just get started with it. But you got to have the right experts. You got to have the right professionals and the people around you that know what's going on, right? They have to understand what's happening.
Yeah, Al, I don't know how much you've been involved personally, or perhaps you've heard your clients, real estate investor clients, share with you, but what's some advice, if you have any, from a marketing angle? You know, I hear just stories and stories over the years of a real estate investor markets to, you know, estates, or they market to families in a pre-probate that have recently lost a loved one. And it's like, you know, you run the risk of them just being like totally ticked off at you because they view you as like, not you, the attorney, but view the real estate investor as some ambulance chaser, you know, trying to take advantage of people. What advice could you speak to that?
I would say, look, I mean, everybody's situation's different, what they're going through. You're here as the investor to provide value to them, right? They may never get a deal or an offer that you're able to present. So being there and trying to empathize, not sympathize, but empathize with their situation and understand where they're coming from and talking to them, right? Talking to people actually like helps a lot, not just having a 5-minute conversation, but understanding where they had been. How did it get here? What are they looking for? What is their want? What is your want? What is their want? And understanding what they want and listening to what they want is very, very important. I see it even on my end. When I'm doing the probate, talking to these people, I see the same thing. You gotta listen to what's going on. That didn't happen overnight, Jay. I had to learn that as being a lawyer, because you know lawyers, they don't stop talking, right? So you have to learn how to like listen to what they want. And I would say best marketing you probably I've seen that you could do is direct mail, cold call. But when you do it, you're coming from an angle of you're not saying, hey, my name is this. I can close in 30 days as is cash. You know, we could do a closing. No problem. You got to approach it from, look, I'm trying to help you. I'm looking for a property maybe to buy. I found your property on the records. I'm interested. I'm willing to offer you this price. And I want to just know where you're coming from. I love to come check it out, actually be able to meet with you and see where we go from there. And having that softer approach is the key. And if it's not you, hire somebody that actually has that personality. That may change things too. People don't realize that. The power of what personality you have can impact the absorption of that deal. Because if you have that soft personality, you may get that deal. If you have that, you know, type A, drive, 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 you may not get that because that's not what they like. They're resistant to that. So it's all about meshing.
What's a weird litigation case you've done that there might be a lesson or two learned that you could share?
Oh my gosh. So, you know, I had one about 3 years ago. We inherited the probate, no pun intended. We actually had to take it over. There was somebody that was working on it. The attorney wasn't doing anything, or they weren't, I don't know what was happening in their relationship with the clients, but it wasn't working out. And we took it over. And one of the things we realized was not only just listening to what was going on, but also providing them a solution. So in this case, there was contentious stuff going on. There was a will, there was a trust, there were minor beneficiaries. It was crazy. And nobody knew what anybody wanted. That was the problem. It's like there was a fight. There was like somebody that asserted a claim, or they wanted to file an answer. Something happened. Nobody knew what they wanted. And what we ended up doing, and this was litigation, Jay. This actually, we had to go to court, sit down with the judge, you know. And what we realized was like, look, let's get our position in. Let's hear their position. Let's get before the judge. We got there. And what the judge basically said to us was, if neither of you come to a resolution today, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. So we all said, look, let's go to mediation. Let's talk it out. And we went there. And after about 8 hours of mediation, finally, it was all about the money. Somebody wanted this. Somebody wanted that. Got down to the table, wrote it out. So that from the time we took it over, took another year and a half. So on the investor side, you're thinking, you know what? For something like that, we just got to have patience. If it starts getting litigious and fighting, got to sit down, start working on something else. Try to find other deals. There's tons of other deals out there. But on our side, what we realized, it was patience. Patience and time and working it out and talking to the other side to figure it out worked. It was beautiful, beautiful. But it was wild how many people were involved. And everybody had a different side to them. You didn't hear anything until you saw the attorneys come back with emails. It was wild.
You also have had cases and clients that was in the realm of foreclosure defense litigation. Were you representing the real estate investor, or are you representing the person being foreclosed?
Foreclosed. So what I was doing back in Miami was we were getting involved once that person got served by the bank, by the process server, and trying to figure out how we can get to a resolution, maybe get to mediation, figure out if there were any defenses and what was being done with the note and the right servicing and the right transferring and the endorsements on the note, you know, all of the crazy things that 08 was all about. But what kind of shifted in the last, I would say, year was seeing the investors finding these properties where it's about to go to auction, and they're going to offer over the balance of that mortgage plus interest plus anything accrued. And they wanted to help buy that property from that seller, but they needed somebody to get in and try to stall or reschedule and cancel it. So those are the things that I've been seeing more, because that's helping everybody, right? That's helping everybody. They're making money instead of going to an auction, going for less. The investor's buying that property, so they're dealing with what they have to do. But that is it's that cancel and reschedule sale thing that seems to be a huge thing right now, because, Jay, I'm sure we could get into a whole thing with what these banks are doing with deferments, you know, during the pandemic. Oh, don't worry, you know, you don't have to pay us for a whole year and a half. Oh, but when the year and a half is over, you owe us $22,000. And people can't afford that, and now they need help with somebody coming in saying, I'll take that off your plate, so you're not in a deficiency situation owing the bank money. Let's buy that property. Let's get you with the right professional that can help get you to that point.
So Al, my final question for the show here with you is, I need you to look into your crystal ball, Al, and share with me and the audience. We're here on this side of COVID. We're not out of it. Foreclosures, as you just said, have for the most part been on pause. You know, have the majority of them, some of them have, and the majority of them still have not been going to sale. What do you see? What do you see happening? You know, and when do you see it happening as far as foreclosures starting to go to sale? Do you think they're going to be on pause for, you know, an extended period of time, or are they getting ready to open up, or what do you think?
So I think on what I've been able to see from my end, I think it's starting to happen more now. So I'm seeing more cases, more things going up on the auction block, whether it's tax deeds that are coming up from things that have been postponed. But the foreclosures, I think they're starting to come back. There was somebody that reached out to me and had an issue with the bank where the bank, like I had just mentioned, the bank said, hey, now you owe us $8,000 or $20,000. And they just got that letter in December. Well, what does that mean? That means if they're treating that as their default notice, that means they're probably not going to do anything for another 90 or 30 days. Then they're going to start litigation in the suit in February or January or March, and then start the whole serving process thing. That means that foreclosures are going to just be a wave. There's going to be a wave of them probably in the middle of 2022. There's going to be a lot more on the auction block. But here's the other side to it, is that unlike 08, where the values were upside down and it was more in a short sale, you may find people that the equity is higher because values are going up. And yeah, the deferment payment is high, but there may be situations where they may not be in a deficiency. So they may not be owing any money later. So that's a good thing. But I think end of 2022, more 2023 is where we're really going to see a big shift in inventory. And again, I'm not an investor. I don't do the realtor stuff, but I see a lot of what's happening. Like probate is endless. Like this is that probate is only going to go up. Like if I told you stats on probate, Jay, you'd be like, what? But foreclosures, I just think we're going to see more of them as we keep going. It's just going to happen. 2022, 2023 is going to be a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I appreciate your insight, Al. So you are the attorney that fixes weird, hard title problems, specifically in the niche of probates. So Al, let's tell everybody how they can get in contact with you. And first of all, we got your website at www.alnicoletti.com, all spelled in one word, www.alnicoletti.com, alnicoletti.com. Any other way to connect with you, Al? I know you got your own podcast show, right?
Wow, there's so many things I could go through. I could do my whole intro of my show right now on your show, Jay. I'll go for it. So I'm Al Nicoletti. You can find me on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel under Al Nicoletti. I got videos constantly posting on probates, quiet titles, partitions. And I also post my show, The Al Nicoletti Show, which goes live on Wednesdays at 8. I'm on a hiatus right now until season 3, which starts January 12th. It's going to be a great season. Season 3 is going to be the best ever. And you can find me on Instagram at Attorney Nicoletti. And I'm on Spotify and iTunes with the Al Nicoletti Show, but also Facebook is huge too. You can check it out under Al Nicoletti, posting content all the time. Love posting this stuff. I got videos everywhere, constantly dropping. And like Jay said, check out the website, www.alnicoletti.com. You can find out all the stuff there. You see my pictures, some of the things about me. And Jay, thank you so much for having me on your show. This has been amazing. This is like, we meet at Mastermind and I could just tell instantly we're going to connect. We're going to be on these episodes and have a great, great time doing this stuff.
Absolutely. Al, thank you so much for joining me, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jay.
All right. Everybody check out Al at all the different places he said. You got alnicoletti.com and Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all the above. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor, the Private Money Academy podcast. And I'm here to serve you folks. I'm wishing you all the best. And I'm looking forward to seeing you right here on the next Private Money Academy podcast. We'll be right back.